Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
If you've heard of the organisation Voice of the Martyrs, or maybe the story of Richard Wurmbrand, the famous Christian who was imprisoned and tortured for his faith, well then you've got some idea of just how tough it was once to be a follower of Jesus Christ in Romania. That Eastern European nation was one of many that suffered greatly during the communist era from the 40s to the 80s. Things began to change when the Iron Curtain fell in 1989, of course, but that nation still suffers a lot of poverty and hardship. Now, you're about to hear an amazing story from a guy who is doing all he can to help his people in Romania rebuild their lives. His name is Daniel Stuparu, and he founded this charity called RomAid. I think you're going to find the story of how he came to Australia in the first place, though, quite riveting. Daniel, welcome to Open House.
Thank you.
When you were growing up, you never would have thought you'd be in Australia, did you?
I never think.
So you grew up in Romania in the 70s and 80s in particular. Now, many of us have got no idea as to just what life was like in another country outside of Australia, let alone Romania. I mean, just what was it like growing up under that communist rule?
It was a little bit hard time for every one of us, special for Christian and children from Christian family. Many times we ask from the teachers or from other local government, why you believe in God, why you go to church? And they still keep asking us and try to convince us the Christianity is not the way how to live.
Mm-hmm. Apart from the constant questions, what else could happen if you were a Christian?
Was a time I come from the church where four brothers from the church was sentenced to death. Mm-hmm. And by grace of God, they were saved. At that time, in 1945, actually, the communists take over, and was they are very, very against the Christianity. Mm. And they don't like Christianity to be expand, you know, around.
And what about your own family, Daniel? What did you as a family and your family members actually experience?
Yeah, because we go to church. Always my father was asking, why you go to church? Why you teach your children to be Christian?
Your father? The government asked your father?
Why you go to church? Why you teach your children to grow up in the Christian faith? At school, they follow us. They have their people who work in the government to looking for us. If we tell to other children about Jesus, about salvation, and always they follow us. Always they follow my father. And sometime was one time in 2-3 weeks. Always they call him to ask him same question. Mm.
They're really harassing him.
Yes.
They?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were following you, physically following you around, were they?
Sometimes, yes. Very rare, but we find out. We don't know, but we find out from other children.
And did I hear that also your grandfather that was fined five months' wages or something?
Yes. My grandfather and my father too.
Mm. Yes. Just for being followers of Jesus who weren't part of the Orthodox Church.
Yes. This is the problem.
Isn't it a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a horrible part of church history, unfortunately, and history in general, that there might be followers of Jesus, so to speak, who actually persecute others because they're not part of their own fold.
Yes. Yeah. This was the problem over the years there.
Yeah, during those years in Romania. Daniel, in 1988, you and your brother risked your lives to flee from Romania. That's quite an amazing story. At what point did you realize you had an opportunity to leave to escape?
In 87, my other brother was escaped from my country. When he escaped, after he arrived here in Australia, we thinking is a time for us to go. In the family, we are three brothers and one sister. And we decided to go. But it was very hard to go because I living in the east of the country. And we are surrounded by Russian and Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. And it was the same communist country. But God have a plan for us because prepare us to go to other side of the country, in the west side of the country, mm-hmm. to escape in Yugoslavia And from Yugoslavia, we stay a few weeks in the United Nations refugee camp until we received the permanent resident visa of Australia.
Okay, which that sounds like it was very easy. You got to a refugee camp in
Yugoslavia.
In Yugoslavia. Yeah. So what's the problem? Why was it so difficult?
It was very difficult because to get there, we must risk our lives. To get inside to the Yugoslavia, we don't have any other choice just to swim. Uh-huh. And to swim between my country and Yugoslavia is the widest point of the big river Danube. Mm-hmm. And to swim from Romania to Yugoslavia take you between 5.5-6 hours swim. If you are a good swimmer.
And there was no other way you could get to Yugoslavia. You had to swim.
You had to swim. You can get to Yugoslavia, but if you have passport. But at that time, for us, was very hard to get a passport, special for Christian who have relatives other side. Because they knew if we get the passport, we stay in Yugoslavia and we ask for refugee camp, you know.
So how long did it take you to get from your home to the Danube River?
Okay. Because we wasn't only just me and my brother, we been 36 people, 36 people. To get in there with the bus was around 24 hours non-stop driving.
On the bus?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. Did anybody in the bus ask questions as to why you were free to travel from there to the Danube, were you?
Yeah. His other story, because the bus who bring us to the point where we must to swim, the driver of the bus was a Christian, and he said to us, "This is my last trip. I take all my family with me in the bus. I take my father, my mother too." This driver working in that area for 7 years, and he knew exactly the area, how to escape, when is the good time to swim to the other side, details.
Mm-hmm. Was he also escaping?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. So he was driving the bus with you, and then he was jumping in the water just alongside you?
Yeah. Not jumping on the water. The thing is, was prepared 2 boats. Uh-huh. Was divided in 4 pieces. Just in 2 minutes, we put 4 screws mixed together, and we make 2 boats.
Oh, okay, yeah. You took it in there in 2 halves. Each boat was in 2 halves, and you put the 2 halves together when you got there? Okay, yeah.
And when arrive at that point, 28 people already jump on the boats, children first, and the elders who was the parents of the driver, plus 4 strong people who pedal on the row.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, which left a few outside the boats.
8 of us was left outside.
To do something else.
Yes. The hardest part was for me and my brother, because we swim. Other 6, they make like a improved canoe.
Improvised canoe?
Yes, yeah. Improvised canoe. But hardest part was for me and for my brother, because we must swim for 5.5 hours, more than 5.5 hours, or swim nonstop.
Wow, this is Open House right across the nation. Daniel Stuparu is with us. We're hearing his amazing story of fleeing from Romanian communist rule back in 1988. We're going to talk about then the aid organization he started to help his people back in Romania in just a second. So here you are, all of these 30-odd people, some of them on a couple of boats. You and your brother have to jump into the water and just simply swim. Tell me about the swim. I mean, after a period of time, you and your brother must have just gotten very, very, very tired. I mean, what was going through your mind and your soul as you were swimming?
We have a little bit of difficulty at that night because start very strong wind. I have a special vest. Help me a little bit to stay in the water. Mm-hmm. Help me to stay 48 hours in the water, even if I not do nothing. My brother have a tube from the small car.
A smaller tire tube.
Yes, yeah. Smaller tire tube. Mm-hmm. And when the wind start, very heavy wind start, my brother, because the tire was under his arm, he can't swim very well. And the wind push him away from me. And I lost my brother. When I lost him, I stopped to swimming and I said, God, please look after him and please help me to find him and please give me the power to go to the other side. And just I swimming, and sometime now, even after 21 years, when I wake up in the night, I have this moment in my...
Do you?
Yes.
You remember it? The flashbacks, yeah. I guess, yes. Is what you call it. Yeah.
Yes. After 4.5 hours, I don't know nothing about my brother. But not. God was the one who helped him. What's happening? The wind pushed him maybe more than 1 kilometer far from me. After 4.5 hours, we met very close to the border, Yugoslavian border. I heard some voice, said, help, help. And I knew it was my brother.
It's his voice.
Mm. Yes, his voice. And what's happening? When I see him, I take off my vest and I try to pass the vest to help him because he was blue. He don't have any power to swim. And I help him and I hug him and I said, thanks God, you saved my brother, you saved me. And from that time, we were safe because we was out of the water.
So did everyone who left the Romanian shore get to Yugoslavia? Was anybody lost?
No one.
So everybody, even the 8 people that had to swim, they all arrived.
Yes.
Fantastic. So then you get to the Yugoslavian side of the Danube River, you get into the United Nations camp, and then you have a dream that you'd come to Australia?
Yes. We stayed there for 3 weeks in United Nations camp, and one night I have this dream. 2-3 weeks before to receive the permanent resident from Australia, I have a dream. And in the morning I said to my brother, look, on 21st of September we go from Yugoslavia. I said, who told you this? Because here you can wait around 8 months. Some people stay 2 years in the refugee camp to receive the whole paperwork, the ticket and everything. And I said, God, show me this. And I believe that. On the wall, on the top of my bed where I was sleeping during the night, appear in the gold letters and the gold numbers, the date and the months when we go.
When you'd leave.
Yeah, when you'd
September
leave.
21st.
September 21st. And I have this document at home.
To say that on the September the 21st,
Because we arrived here September 23rd. Yeah, 21st
you
leave.
Yep. And then, wow, so you're meant to be here, aren't you?
Yeah, thanks God for that.
Yeah.
And both of us were first who leave Yugoslavia.
First leave.
All other people, all the other 34 people leave after 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
They stay for 8 months in the refugee camp there.
Mm. We're hearing the amazing story of Daniel Stuparu. This is Open House Across the Nation. He fled from the then communist-run Romania back in 1988, came to Australia, as you can hear, through pretty miraculous events, and now runs an organisation called ROMAID. So as soon as you get to Australia, you then start trying to help your people back in Romania, and that has now become ROMAID. How have things changed now since the Iron Curtain then fell in just a year after you actually escaped, by the way, which actually made the newspapers over there? Of course, you were over here, so you never got the newspaper itself, but your escape with all those 30 other people still made the newspapers. How have things changed now in Romania, now that the Iron Curtain has fallen and it's, what, you know, a good 20-odd years later?
Before I escape, I said in my heart, God, if you help me to escape from my country, I want, first of all, I want to serve you, and secondly, I want help as much as I can the poorest people from my country. And I try to keep my promise. But the need was great. Many, many families with many children, some very poor area, especially in the northeast of the country, was some villages who don't have drinking water, and even they don't have electricity, and they live in the same pigsty. Mm. They live under the ground, they sleep under the ground, no bed, not nothing. And I decided to help them. What we do from here, we try to help special the poorest family, what I knew before I come. start to send some containers.
Containers with goods.
Goods and aid and medical and food and clothing and many, many things. And thanks God, in 20 years we send them through Christian Mission International, we send them over 70 containers. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So while the communist rule kind of collapsed in 1989, the poverty situation now in Romania still remains, isn't it? There's many areas there that are really, really doing it tough.
Still many families from the villages. Many family from the villages.
And describe it. Just give me, just really briefly, a family that is doing it tough. What kind of existence are they living?
Yeah. Because in some area is not work in the villages. They just live by, let's say, little what they receive from government. Even we receive a report last month was around 100 children only from the churches who don't have support to go to school for the first time, let's say. And we try to help them. And we try to help them through containers. But in one point, we can't send any more containers because of the regulation from European Union. We can't send them now containers. Just we assist them financial. We assist them financial because they can buy for their everything what they want.
So give them financial support that they can support the local economy so they can buy the local produce.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about the big project that you're working on now with Romania.
This project started in 2001. We receive information, one family living in like a middle age time. And we try to help first to build them a house, decent house, beds with clothing, with shoes, food, everything. We help them. Plus, we send money to the builders, who was a Christian builder, architect and Christian builder, who doing labor was for free, only just to buy the building material, you know, to build a house for them. And was a big joy for this family. And because of that, many people from that area turn to God because they see the love of God through them.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that beautiful?
Yes. Yes. This. And we was thinking to doing like a small medical center, like a big community hall. They can use it, this community hall, for church services. They can use it for different kind of meetings, for weddings, for many, many other things. Big community hall, kindergarten, child care. We have in plan to do pharmacy, you know, pharmacy, like a big complex. We have all the information on website where we are now.
Where you're up to?
Yeah, we're up to. Thanks God, only He was the one who helped us until now, and still we need support to be finished.
So you're staying in Australia really to help your people?
Yes.
To help your people in Romania?
Yeah,
okay. Well, Daniel, it's been great to have you in. Thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you know, God's strength and power to you and provision as you continue to help your people in Romania.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's Daniel Stuparu. He's the founder of RomAid, that's supporting the needy in Romania. The details are on the website, which is where you can find out details and everything else as to if you'd like to support RomAid, romaid.com.au. It's simply romaid.com.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.